As much as I want to believe in Brian Daboll, and as much as the positive feel came from training camp and the preseason and all that stuff, a lot of it is around Jackson Dart and his energy. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But this team, yet again, embarrassed themselves, scoring a touchdown seem like an impossibility. And we can get to the defense and break down the different layers of the game. For me, though, if you're a believer in Brian Daboll and you wanted to have hope that things are going to be different this year, you were reminded yesterday that the quarterbacks can change, but with this head coach, it has been an embarrassment offensively.
What a disgraceful, absolutely unacceptably bad performance by the Giants. You know, you said it's bad football, but it's also boring football, which is equally compounding how the Giant fans process this. You're right. I mean, guys, let's just look at this for what it is. It's not year one. It's not year two. It's not year three. It's year four. It is year four for Brian Daboll, and the Giants come out, and the same problems that have plagued them basically since year one, the O-line stinks, the defense can't stop the run. It really is unwatchable. I mean, watching the Giants trying to operate the most rudimentary elements of football, I mean, it makes your head spin. I say this rhetorically. I know that they practice, but like, if you told me that the Giants went from like OTAs in April, whatever, and they stepped on the field yesterday, I would say, yeah, that makes sense. Like, without practicing before that, what did you see yesterday that gave you any sort of confidence or inclination to think that it's going to stop the way it needs to stop for the Giants, not to get good, to get decent?
And that's why I blame Daboll, because you saw what Daniel Jones did, and we could even get to that later on. You saw what Daniel Jones did with his new team, and we felt like he was the scapegoat, or at least made to be the scapegoat, for the failures that the Giants offense has had. They bring in Russell Wilson, veteran quarterback. They draft Malik Nabers. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We were told the offensive line was going to be better. I don't care that Thomas is out. Figure it out. Just didn't have Vera Tucker. They ran the football down the Steelers' throat. So I don't want to hear about the injuries. It's not about that. I was a believer in Brian Daboll. It's the same thing year after year after year. And then he stands up there in the post-game press conference and says the same thing. Nothing. No, well, this is not on Russell Wilson. Well, then who's it on? If it's not on Russell Wilson, and it's not on Malik Nabers, and it's not on Theo Johnson, who's it on? It's on you. This is on Brian Daboll. Even the worst offenses in the league score points. He is an offensive guy. How many different quarterbacks does he need to score a touchdown? They can't run a BT. Sorry, they can't run the football. They can't protect the quarterback. They are a total mess. Yeah. That has to be on the head coach.
I don't know that I've ever seen a more fragile unit. I remember saying last week, you and I went through our most important football players in New York, and obviously we'll get to the Jets later, but one of the names on my list, and I had mostly Jets, but Andrew Thomas, and I've said this for a while, it to me has been and will continue to be the most important New York football player that's out there. Offense, defense, special teams, coaching, whatever, schematics. I mean, the Giants can't even look. They don't even resemble a competent outfit without their starting left tackle. Now, I understand it's one of the most important positions in football. You got to have a corner. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have a left tackle. And ideally, you have a playmaking wide receiver. Like, that's the short list of things that you pretty much have to have if you want to be a good football team. But good God, I mean, the guy's always hurt. How do you bank on Andrew Thomas with the Linz Frank injury? He's 300-something pounds. That is a bad injury. We got the news on Friday, and I think I was even a little more perplexed than you, but it kind of came in fairly, like in the middle of the show, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, Andrew Thomas is not practicing. I'm like, he's not practicing. A precautionary measure by the G-men.
Yeah.
Precautionary for what? I assumed that he was healthy. I assumed for sure that he was going to start. So that's going to be a disaster the entire year. Schmitz, the center, absolutely stinks. The way that the Giants' interior linemen got blown up, it was embarrassing. So whatever they did to practice to get ready for this season, try it again and do the opposite, because the Giants looked like trash.
And this is not about their schedule. This is about the Giants thinking that they're better than they are. I felt this way all offseason long. And then I started to get into the hype around the preseason, maybe changing a little bit. All right, this was a winnable game on paper. That's what everybody was saying. Oh, come in. Giant, remember, I told you we had to have like the realistic conversation where people are starting to get out of control.
Yeah.
Giants are going to win the first two games of the year, and they get like dial it back a little bit. And then you watch that, and it's not even about the actual loss. Like, they were, again, non-competitive. And then Russell as well, it was 14-6. And, you know, it could have been blah, 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 blah. It could have been. It wasn't. You couldn't move the football. He had no time to go. I'm not blaming him solely.
But yeah, I don't think he deserves as much heat as Russell Wilson's been getting. I really don't. He had five drops.
Their bigger issue, even with
catch
the
football.
But, BT, we talked about this. And it's why I can't wait to discuss the Jets. And we will do that coming up a little bit. But we talked about this. It starts inside out. They cannot run the football, no. The Giants. You could talk about, no. Everybody could look at, well, Tyrone Tracy's a good back. Yeah, sure. Ooh, Scadaboo. Yeah, he's going to be a beast, whatever. They cannot run the football. They don't have a good offensive line, so they can't run the football. You can't establish the run. Can't stop the run either, and that's another problem. If you can't run and you can't stop it, you're not going to win many games. They can't, forget winning games, they can't score touchdowns. So how is that possible when you got a guy like Malik Nabers and you got a Super Bowl winning quarterback with Russell Wilson here and an offensive guru? Oh, the quarterback genius, the quarterback whisperer, and Brian Daboll. How come it is impossible in a league that is set up for you to score points? It is not that difficult. Look around the league. And yet the Giants, year in, year out, it's the same exact thing. So that's why, to me, as much as I was a believer in Brian Daboll, and mm-hmm. I would have, you know me, last year I was taking it on the chin defending Brian Daboll.
You defended him.
And I gave him the benefit of the doubt, even though I knew better going into this season. I don't know how you could back Brian Daboll anymore. It's not just 1 week. It's 4 years of the same stuff.
It hasn't improved. It just simply is not. Matter of fact, it's gotten worse. It's regressed because it actually started fairly well at that week one win in Tennessee a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Now, the way I watched the Giants yesterday, I watched the Jets first, and then I went to the Giants. And I had my notepad, and I went through every snap with the Giants like I do with the Jets. But during the Jet game, of course, I was checking the Giants' scores. And I'm like, oh, when I remember seeing the final numbers, I'm like, oof, before I saw the game. Russ, 17 for 37. God, he must have looked like ass. Then I watched the game. And I got to tell you, I don't know if I fully exonerate him, but pretty damn close. You mentioned Theo Johnson, Malik Nabers had a drop. There was at least four or five balls that they dropped. I thought he showed pretty good poise, Russell, knowing when to throw the football away. There's just nothing there. There's nowhere to run. So, you know, I know there's deeper conversations, and we all know what I'm alluding to when I say that. We'll get to that as well with the backup quarterback at some point, but I don't think the problem is Russell Wilson. The problem is in football, if the five guys who are supposed to be the engine to the offense can't get 2 inches pushed forward, you cannot win. And when you cannot do that, not only will you not win, you will look inept, which they did.
One thing I would say that I'm not going to shred the defense. I don't think, like, this is Jaden Daniels. It's still week one. In itself, for one
the run
game,
defense, you got to shred.
Yeah, but it's against Jaden Daniels. I know their run defense has not been very good, and that could be a question mark here. I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass. They allowed 21 points. The defense overall allowed 21 points to the Commanders with Jaden Daniels. So I can't go nuts. Was it did I look at it and say, wow, this could be a top five? This is a dominant defense.
No, not
I
once.
Didn't. But I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass because of the challenge that they had in Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And because of overall, like 21 points. It shouldn't be an impossible.
Well, the Commanders should have had more with that 10-second runoff. I mean, think about it. It's only three more at that point. They easily could have put up. Like, they could have put. Now, they didn't, but they could have put up 35 points.
I get it.
Commanders.
They got gashed on the ground. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying they're going to be great. I'm just saying that I'm not going to sit here today and say their defense is overrated.
No, I'm not getting to the defense either. I'm kind of with you on that.
This is about Brian Daboll and his offense with a new quarterback, a veteran quarterback, one that they finally chose. Remember, for years, we were evaluating him on a quarterback that they could sit there and say, well, this wasn't our guy. He was forced on us.
Mm.
Well, that guy went out and had a spectacular week one elsewhere.
Look good.
And your guy that you brought in was awful. So is it Daniel Jones or is it Brian Daboll? And if it's the offensive line's fault, then it's Shane and Daboll because it's year four right now.
Well, I'm happy you brought Shane into the equation because, listen, guys, and we've had a few of these players in all the different sports here in New York, right? When you are perpetually hurt, and you don't take the precautions to, hey, just in case Andrew Thomas doesn't make it through, and in this case doesn't start the season, what's our plan B? Because this is what has sabotaged every single New York Giants season, which is why I make him the most important football player in New York. Like, they can't even represent a team that that looks as if they can function on the most basic level of functionality, going back to the 40-zip loss to Dallas. I mean, they have gotten their face kicked in basically every single September because they can't protect the quarterback, they can't get the tough yard, they can't crank out drives to keep the opposing offense on the field because they cannot, they don't have an offensive line. And Joe Shane started this season understanding, now listen, that Lynn Frank injury to Andrew Thomas was in October. It didn't happen after the draft or during training camp or last week when there's not a whole lot of options. So there's a lot of blame to go around. Now listen, I'm not a Giants fan by birth or by trade, but if I was, I mean, I'm pissed off as it is. I got to watch this for a living. If I'm a Giants fan today, I am livid. I am absolutely disgusted with what they put out there.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Hey, Bernie's calling from Belmore. What's up, Bernie?
Hello, Bern.
Berkey? I'm sorry, Berkey. Berkey's calling from Belmore. What's up, Berkey? Okay, is Berkey not? Doesn't matter who it is. He's not there. Ed is calling from Bergen County. What's up, Ed?
How you doing, BT and Sal? How you doing this morning?
What's up, Eddie? How are you, pal?
So, after watching the Giants opener, I thought there was a little bit of overhyped false optimism. Because my fear was they weren't going to be able to run the ball or stop the run on either side. I'm starting to think, watching this, that Daboll made his bones or made his name, you know, helping get Josh Allen to be better. I'm starting to think that Josh Allen made Daboll look better rather than vice versa. You know, it was kind of a disgrace yesterday a little bit. The Washington Redskins had a rookie tackle having to block either Thibodeau or Burns,
yeah.
And they managed. When they had to move the ball, they could. Their offensive line got it done with a rookie in there. I don't think Andrew Thomas changes things that much had he played.
Agreed. It's not an excuse. I'm with you, and thank you for the call, Ed. I know what you're saying, BT. We've talked about the importance of Thomas. We all know that. But I believe if he played, you still... So what are they going to score? Maybe a touchdown? Either way, that's not good enough. And even if he did play, I'm not so sure they would. It's been the one, like, you can't just blame one player. Again, use the Jets as an example with Vera Tucker, a very good guard, integral to what the Jets are trying to do. Did you even miss him yesterday? Did you even notice that he was gone?
Actually, on the right side, I did. Good. I mean, most of the success for the Jets was on the left side with Simpson and Olu.
But they ran
in totality, they were, so but most of it was on the left side.
They got to figure it out.
See, but here's the thing. I'm not saying that if Andrew Thomas is on the team or if he's playing, that the Giants are elevated two or three tiers into a Super Bowl contender. What I'm clearly saying is that without him, they can't even do the most basic things. Like, they can't. You can't open the playbook. You can't extend drives. You can't extend drives. You can't score. You can't score. You can't win. I mean.
But is that Andrew Thomas not being there?
I think it's a lot. I think
if you put Andrew Thomas there, all of a sudden the Giants are moving the football well yesterday.
A lot better than they would have.
I don't believe so at all.
I think the play calling changes. Yeah. Like, when the Giants were inside the 10 and inside the 5, they're so limited into what they could do. That's why most of the throws by Russell Wilson were out of the end zone.
Right, and when they did throw it to the receiver's hands, like Malik Nabers and Theo Johnson,
they dropped it.
Well, is Andrew Thomas going to fix that?
No, but to think...
Is he going to fix running the football? Because I don't believe so.
Well, then why the hell do you pay a left tackle $35 million?
I know, but BT, it's not about one player.
I know it's not, but when the other guys suck the way they do, you can possibly, like, a great, and listen, this is not Andrew Thomas being, he's not always good. Andrew Thomas is phenomenal. So to me, a phenomenal, like, all-world left tackle, there is nobody on the planet that's going to tell me that it's not going to elevate the group and make them better. Not to the point where they're going to be a top-five offense, but I promise you, if Thomas is on that field yesterday, that you could crank out 3, 4, 5 more first downs, and I promise you the Giants score a touchdown.
Yeah, I promise you that it's an excuse. Did Tristan Wirfs play yesterday?
No, but that's just a better team. That's a better team, Sal.
But that's the point.
They were a playoff team last year, the Bucs.
But that's the point. It can't be about one player. I understand Andrew Thomas is great. It can't be one player. And then what's going to happen is that's the excuse to then. So what happens if Thomas is out the whole year? And then what? So Daboll and Shane be back next year because it's all about Andrew Thomas. And then when Thomas does come back next year, and if he's able to stay healthy for 5 games, what happens then if they still can't move the
football? I'm not saying that. I'll tell you what I am saying. If the Giants, like, have a 3 or 4 win season, I don't care what they saw in Jackson Dart. Both men are out of my building.
Well, I mean,
I'm saying that's what I'm saying. But I'm also saying that Andrew Thomas is phenomenal, and the Giants would be a lot better.
I do not look at yesterday's game and say, you know what? If they had Andrew Thomas, they would have won that game. Anthony's calling from New Paltz. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Hello, Ant.
I'd be better if I wasn't a Giants fan. So I'm calling about Joe Shane, to what you're saying. We've missed on almost every draft pick he's had, on top of his signings not being that great. And, you know, I do believe Daboll should get some scrutiny being a, you know, offensive guru since we haven't seen anything. But at what point do we really start putting the, you know, holding Shane accountable for him missing? Because we should have depth on the O-line. We should have a backup left tackle that can slide in and play right away with Andrew Thomas's track record.
Well, I am. Like, and by the way, I'm not alone.
It's common sense.
Yeah, others have gotten on Shane.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you guys.
No, I know you're
not. I'm
just
saying in general, like, you know, when we miss our third round pick in Jalin Hyatt,
yeah,
and, you know, Wandell Robinson's dropping passes, and you see every other offense is 2,000 yards.
How about Evan Neal? Where's
Evan Neal? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we can't even plug him in at guard if we needed to put Rotten at center.
And you know the problem. Here's the problem. Thanks for the call. The problem is, and there's a lot of problems, which is the problem. But when you're as bad as the Giants have been, and what is that? I just said the stop before. Last three week one games, 0-3, outscored 89-12. That is expansion level. Are you kidding me? But when you're that bad, right, Sal, it's not just like the left tackle or the quarterback, right, or the coach or the GM. When you're that inept, when you're that substandard, it's pretty much everything.
Well, that's kind of my point. I'm not trying to minimize the importance or impact that Andrew Thomas is. We all know how impactful he can be. I do not believe that he is the difference maker. I've heard every excuse for 4 years. I've heard it all. Saying the same thing with Daniel Jones. Offensive line. Oh, it's this, it's that. Now it's a no. Dable needs a new quarterback. Jones wasn't able to pull the trigger, which, by the way, I agree with to a lot of extents. But how come in 1 week we can see his new quarterback with Thomas or not? Their offense alone, forget even just about the quarterback, they cannot run the football. That's number one. You would think one way to maybe negate not having your superstar left tackle would be to run the football to the right side then, right? Mm. Well, they can't do that. The Giants can't run the football consistently, and they haven't been able to do that for years. Even with Saquon Barkley. How many examples do we need? Saquon Barkley, they have him here. The Giants couldn't utilize him. He goes to Philadelphia. He's the MVP in the league. Wins a Super Bowl. He has a historic season. Daniel Jones, 1 week with the Colts, is lighting up the scoreboard. Throwing dimes all over the damn field. The receivers nobody's ever heard of. And yet you got Russell Wilson and Malik Neighbors. Neighbors yelling at Dable. Neighbors dropping balls. Theo Johnson's dropping balls. Russell Wilson scrambling for his life. The one constant is Shane and Dable. That's the constant. I'm not trying to be, like, I believed in this regime.
Mm-hmm.
I believed in Dable. This is year four. It's the one constant with this.
I'm going to let that rant just fly on its own because that was good. You ain't wrong.
How many examples do we need?
You're not wrong. You are
BT and Sal
right
on the fan. I wanted a competitive football game, for God's sakes. And we thought it was going to happen. Like, the schedule's not going to get any easier, as you know. At Dallas, week two, okay, that was another quote-unquote winnable game. Right now, I don't think it matters who the Giants play. They do not look like they can play competent football regardless. It's about them.
Mm-hmm.
They are their toughest opponent. And not only that, BT, you get also the side note with Neighbors and Dable. Now, I'm not going to try to go after Malik Neighbors on this, but this is becoming a little bit of a pattern to a point where I'm starting to get Odell Beckham Jr. vibes a little bit, where there is a lack of... Hey, I'm not saying he's wrong either, by the way. He could be... Like, Neighbors could be right, but there is a lack of maybe respect for what's going on with the play calling, the hierarchy, and that can lead to a bad environment, especially when you're losing and you put up 6 points and no touchdown.
Mm.
What do you think is going to happen? It's going to snowball and potentially could get to a point where, again, it's out of control.
Yeah, I understand why you would say that. I'm not going to go there yet. I think that Dable is obviously much more than Tom Coughlin, just based on his age and his attitude, the way he comports himself. I think that Dable is fine with Neighbors. I think that they've got a good relationship. I saw what happened yesterday. If he left him hanging, by the way, never dapped him up, you know. I don't know if Neighbors really saw that. I just think that Neighbors is incredibly competitive, which I love. I think that Dable appreciates that,
yeah.
Dable. And I think that he knows that there's frustrations that are going to boil over when you're not getting the football, especially when you're open, which has happened since he was drafted here, as good as he was a year ago. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. But it really doesn't matter what I think. It's the optics. And when you're losing, right, which they are, And now, forget about us, because I think we see it fairly clearly and a pretty, we're not looking to start trouble between the coach and player.
And I don't think that it's between the two. I'm just saying that I think neighbors in isolation,
yep.
The way he's reacting, and you're right, Dable likes his competitiveness. It's one of the reasons why they wanted him here. I'm not saying, oh, it's a big blow up on the sideline and they hate each other. No, not that at all. What I'm saying is neighbors has shown in now 2 years.
Yeah, a little petulance.
Getting frustrated visibly on the sideline. And that, to me, is more of a selfish thing. And just it's not going to do any good to the team. Even if it's not just about him and about the frustrations with the offense or not getting the ball, that is not going to do any good. And that's what I'm saying. It's not him versus Dable. I'm saying it brings a negative energy and cloud around a situation that is obviously frustrating to begin with.
Well, I think on the national scene, which we don't really care about, but I think that's where it becomes more problematic. So you're going to have all these debate shows that when they get to the Giants and the Commanders, they will say, oh, look, here we are. Giants look terrible. And look, the head coach and the star receiver, not getting along, when I don't really think it's that deep. But I do agree with you on this. When you don't get the football and you show that outward frustration, it seems selfish. It really does. It comes across as selfish. You don't want to see that.
If Garrett Wilson did that to Aaron Glenn, what would you want to see Aaron Glenn do?
Snapping, let him vent for a second. This is not the 1950s. Let him air it out a little bit, and then if it became too much, now you've got to have a different tone and a different exchange and let him know who the boss is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because it's about hierarchy and order and those things. That's what I'm saying. It's not a personal thing with Dable and neighbors. At least I don't believe it.
I don't think it is either.
I'm talking about respecting authority and a structure thing and who's leading the way. When you have players, and in this case, neighbor, and he's done this multiple times, your neighbor since he's been here, when you have players that are undermining the head coach, even just visibly showing frustration and disrespecting the head coach, be like, oh, come on, man, this is embarrassing. We get it. It is embarrassing. I understand Malik Nabers. But that, to me, is undermining the head coach, which is just not a good look for anybody.
And here's the other problem, too. We'll get back to the calls. Obviously, Giant fans want to let it rip. 888-808-1019. Jets later. B-T and Sal and all the fam. But the other problem, real quick, is that they have not had a quarterback who's got the presence and the chops to defuse that. Where Daniel Jones was very much to himself, very vanilla, didn't say a word. Whereas, Russell Wilson, he's got maybe the league cred, but he's got no equity here in that locker room. He just got here.
But he's supposed to be a leader.
I know he is. No, it depends on who you speak to in Seattle. Like, there were different versions.
A Super Bowl. Like,
I'm a Russell Wilson fan. I get it.
I'm not even saying you have to be or not. I'm just saying part of the appeal to bringing a veteran quarterback would be cleaning up little things like that.
Yeah, but did you ever see him getting between, people? Like, remember when the defensive players were all over him? He just kind of kept his mouth shut. He's not that demonstrative, fight back verbally. I don't mean a fist fight with your teammate, but verbal pushback like a Brady or a Peyton Manning would basically say, dude, shut the bleep up and get rid of me. Let's get lost.
Also, maybe because of where he's at in his career. We saw similar with Aaron Rodgers last year with the Jets, where even though he was saying the right things and trying to get these guys to buy in, some of the younger guys just either don't respect it or don't care. And maybe that's the case. And again, I'm not trying to create problems. I'm not saying that it is a big problem. All I'm saying is I don't think that type of attitude or frustration shown on the sideline is healthy. And when you're losing and you're only scoring 6 points, we all know it. Neighbors doing that to me is not going to help out the current regime. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Scott is calling from Rockland County. What's up, Scott?
Hey, appreciate y'all taking my call. Listen, Giant fans, y'all need to, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right because they lost to a professional NFL team. They had a competitive game and you got a team with a quarterback that's, he has moderate success. I would consider him maybe pedestrian or a journeyman. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hear about his Super Bowl win because you know what? Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson won Super Bowls. Would you put them in your starting lineup as a lead quarterback?
No, Scott, hold on. Scott, hold on. You're confusing me because you started to defend the Giants like, hey, it's going to be okay.
No, I'm saying and then you basically said
Russell Wilson,
the Giants
Brad Dilfer. Which one is it?
No, but you know what? People are complaining about the quarterback situation, and you got what you got. People wanted to, right?
We're not.
So, we can only speak for ourselves here.
I wanted to say that I think the Giants have a great chance at playoff. They'll be there,
Based on what?
The New York Giants?
Based on what?
San Francisco's hanging around.
They got a better shot, unfortunately.
No, because they have a good team, And
Scott, they scored 6 points yesterday. I'm all for belief, and it's week one, you're right, but you got to give me some tangible reason why you think the Giants are going to be a playoff team, because I still haven't heard that from you.
All right, my tangible reason is this, is that they are the New York Giants, and they always seem to play.
Scott,
they always seem to...
Scott,
what? I'm a Saints fan, but I think the Giants are going to be a playoff
team. Scotty.
I wanted to
communication process seems to be broken down again.
I knew he wasn't from here. You could just tell he sounds a little different, which is great. I mean, we love people calling all over the country, free on the app. You relocate to the city, you latch on to BT and sound all the fan. We love it. But you couldn't have a more inaccurate view of the Giants. I mean, he just said the Giants are going to be good because of the Giants. That's supposed to be reassuring? I think the more accurate thing is the Giants are going to stink because they're the Giants. That's what's happened to the Giants. Now, I think the answer is somewhere in between. I do think they're going to be a little bit better than yesterday, and they'll win a couple of games. We can get to that later. But, like, I look
a
at...
A couple. I mean, you...
I do. I was a little more optimistic than you coming
into the season.
But I'm
saying, what's a couple? Well, are we talking a literal two?
No, more than that. Yeah. Although if it's two, everybody's gone. But think about this, guys. Do the Giants, and this is depressing, do the Giants have... And I don't mean do they have a good receiver. Do the Giants have an effective pass game? The answer is no. Do the Giants consistently and effectively run the football? The answer is no. Do the Giants effectively and consistently stop the run? The answer is hell no. And do the Giants have a pass rush? Oh, yeah, they do. It's by far the best aspect of the team. The problem is you never have a lead where you allow those guys to just go quarterback hunting. So even their best traits mitigated.
So if I were Scott trying to make a case for the Giants, or give you a tangible reason to believe in the Giants, I would start with saying, well, they have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl in place. That's number one. Number two, they have an elite wide receiver in Malik Nabers. They also have elite players on defense, and it's just 1 week, and it's against the Commanders. Now, again, you could add all that up and still say, yeah, but I don't think it's good enough. But at least there are, like, you can make the case, Scott was clearly saying the Giants are because they're the Giants is, like, the worst thing that you could say, based off of what the Giants have done, certainly, in recent history. Chris is in Tinton Falls. What's up, Chris?
Hello, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Chris.
Thank God the Yankees will be playing in October because I'm outraged at this Giant team again. guys, look, you both are hitting on it, and it's a fundamental problem. Their line is inept. Andrew Thomas is a great player. We all know it. But they had all summer, and BT, you pointed this out, as early as October of last year, he was hurt. You've got to then reconfigure your line and figure it out. Continuity. Offensive lines are built on continuity. They have to act as if Andrew Thomas isn't there. That line was embarrassing. Dable has been a pass-the-buck guy for a long time now. Daniel Jones is the problem. No, it doesn't matter who's under center. You don't have a line who can block. The best year they had was 22. Why? They had a really opportunistic defense led by Wink Martindale. He couldn't get along with him. Jettison him. Saquon Barkley had his best year, arguably, that year. Let's get rid of him because we don't need running backs. Anybody can replace him. Oh, look behind a mediocre line. You don't get production. That shows how good Barkley was. Now, they can't even protect, and it's all predicated on Andrew Thomas, and they want to indict Shane. Shane goes all in on Brian Burns. Good player. That money should have been put in the line because it's an offensive league and you got to throw the ball under Dable's offense, but you don't want to block. No, they want their splash moves. I've had it with this regime. They pat themselves on the back and then they pass the buck when it goes sour.
There's one thing left, and we'll take a break and get back to your calls here. There's one thing left from my perspective that is to be seen from this regime. We all know what that is.
let me guess.
That's it. No, but
I don't know. We got a new punter this week. Come on, man. That's the biggest story in the room.
Understood, but that's the definitive. Yeah. Like, it's it. Everything else has been determined. They have not been good enough. The regime. I'm not talking about Dable. I'm talking about Shane and Dable and everybody else involved. Almost every decision they have made has been the incorrect one. Almost. I mean, obviously, there's some. They talk about the talent, how they had a great draft last year, and now the talent this year. Again, we saw it. Like, at some point, I'd like to see the talent actually do something. You know, catch a ball, score a touchdown, simple things like that. Mm-hmm. I can be pleased easily. Just score a freaking touchdown.
It's bad already.
But there's one thing that, to me, that can save it all, and that's left to be. It's why I'm not going to say fire Shane and fire Dable yet. and it's Jackson Dart.
And that's the conversation we had next. You knew it was coming. We wanted to get into the game a little bit, let you guys, you know, air the grievances, and we'll still let you do that. But Dart on the table next.
You mentioned it. We'll get to the Jets coming up in about 15 minutes or so. You mentioned it about Jackson Dart, and we teased it before the break. You know, for me, it's the only thing left. Like, it's the only thing left to determine what Brian Daboll is definitively. If Shane and Daboll can draft and develop their quarterback in Jackson Dart, then it could change the entire outlook of the franchise moving forward. And if not, that's it. They're toast. Like, I don't need another year to evaluate it. It's got to happen this year. I'm not saying it's got to happen in week two. I would not do that myself because I don't think that's conducive to developing Jackson Dart the right way. I would stick to the plan as long as they could. We had Baldy on a week ago. We'll have him on, I think, tomorrow and every Tuesday moving forward so we could ask him more about it. He had said week five initially. He thought that...
That's the Saints game.
Yeah, I thought that was too early. But, I mean, if we were talking about... I wasn't thinking worst case scenario right out of the gate. If the Giants lose the next 3 weeks, which is very possible, I mean, then I think with each loss, the calls are going to get louder and louder and louder for Jackson Dart. My thing is, if I'm Shane and Daboll, or Daboll specifically, I'm waiting, BT, till I know when it's definitively the right move and I'm firing my last salvo to prove that I deserve to stay with the New York Giants.
Okay, so the reason you deploy Dart is solely for, like, job or self-preservation?
No, it's for... To me, he's got to show that. And I'm sure I'm not alone. Like, I guarantee you, nobody's happy about what they saw yesterday.
Yep.
Why would we expect that to change? I think the hope is going to be that it could change. I wouldn't expect it to change. What I'm saying is, if I'm Daboll, I wouldn't do it. Like, I'm not doing it now like, oh, crap, I got to save my job. I wouldn't do it until I know he's ready.
Yep.
And then when I do deploy that, now it's here
okay.
we go.
I got you. And then that's a parachute to softer landing, potentially, if he looks good, which I think he's going to. I'm not playing him for a while. See, the noise around, and it's going to be pretty loud on the station today. There's been some juice, really, the last month or so because he had a very good summer. So I get it. I think the Jackson Dart's going to be good. I really do. I'm looking forward to watching him play eventually. But the reasoning to me is not logical, nor is it sound enough, because I hear a lot of people say, including people who do this for a living in terms of former players, well, he's a better athlete than Russ at this point, so he can work around the patchwork offensive line. That's the last reason why I'm playing him.
Right.
So let me get this straight. You're going to throw him out there and have him run around and get popped by linebackers and safeties coming up in the box, and not to mention defensive ends, when he's not necessarily, like, truly ready? You don't do that. It's counterproductive, it's dangerous, and it's dumb. Now, this also goes back to the conversation. Now, we don't know exactly what was said, but you and I both thought, to varying degrees, but kind of on the same page, that at some point Maritz hold Daboll and Shane, hey, listen, you don't have to play him to save. Like, there's no guaranteed win total. Like, that's what we kind of surmised
going
was said going into
the
season. Because if you allow them to draft a quarterback and then you in the first round, and then you don't bring him back in 2026, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
So I don't think that they've got to win six games or eight games or to keep their job. But I hope that that's true, because if they rush this kid out there the way the O-line is, that kid will get ruined.
And I don't think they will rush him despite the calls. What I'm saying is it was so ugly yesterday that now, it's no more, oh, let's see what Daboll can do with a different non-Daniel Jones quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I've already made my decision based on what I've seen for 3 years plus yesterday and plus what Daniel Jones did, plus what Saquon Barkley's done. Like, there's enough evidence to say this guy may not be the guy we thought he was, but there's one thing that could save him. Shane has to draft the proper quarterback. B, the proper development of that quarterback. Now, does that mean that it's going to be week five? Does it mean it's going to be week 10? That, to me, though, that would be the one thing. If I'm evaluating Brian Daboll, this is ugly. It may get uglier in the coming weeks, but I'm not going to make a definitive final end decision on this regime until I see what they can do with Jackson.
I think that that's fair. I really do. I think that that's a good way to look at it, because this man's an offensive, you know, coach, a quarterback background, and to not give him a quarterback of his own volition and then ultimately judge him on the job that he does, to me, seems very unfair and stupid. But listen,
I know, dude.
Here's the one thing that can't happen, Sal. Like, if let's say they get roasted by Dallas. I don't think they will because Dallas' defense is not that good. I think the Giants will move the ball, so I think that this will be stabilized a little bit, so the noise will be muted a little bit going into week three. I don't know if they'll win, but I think that the offense will score some touchdowns.
Better matchup, certainly, than Jaden Daniels as well, with, even though Dak, I know, played really well.
Yeah, he looked slower. 32, the bad foot injury a couple years back.
If the Giants can't get, and we could obviously break down this game as the week goes on here, but if the Giants' defense doesn't look more impactful and they can't score against Cowboys in week two, then
it's going to have a different tenor to the noise, which will be a different discussion next week. But what I was going to say was, what you can't risk here, back to Dart, and I just say that I think they'll score points against Dallas because I don't think you'll have to pull Russ after the Dallas game because I think he'll do okay. That's why I even said that, right? Not to necessarily break down the game. But if you go or when you go to Jackson Dart, and if he's swimming and if he doesn't look good and then you have to pull him, then that might be worse for Dable.
Well, that's why I say you can't do that. And I was like this before they played a game. You cannot go to Jackson Dart until you know that, okay, here we go. This is his show now. There is no like...
How do you know that?
Well,
how do you really know?
You've got to know it. And it's got to be the right decision. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't do that in week two.
Yeah, no way.
I wouldn't do it in week three. Like me,
I wouldn't do it in September.
Here's what I would do. Right. Me personally, I would say, okay, I think he's ready. And then I let him sit for another 3 weeks. Like... That's how extremely cautious I would be with this.
What about sub packages just to get his feet wet a little bit here?
And really? There was a lot of talk about that leading up to. I'm not saying that there can't be a single spot in a game. Mm-hmm. The Falcons did this many years ago with Michael Vick and Chris Chandler. Chris Chandler was the starting quarterback. Vick, they drafted, you know, whatever. They traded up to get him. And I remember them using him occasionally before eventually turning it over to him to be the starter. I think it was the year after, but it might have been later in the year. Whatever. So I'm not opposed to that. Other teams have done this too, but that's just one example that comes to mind with a young quarterback. Get him some packages. I'm not opposed to it. I wouldn't make that the priority. Clearly, they didn't yesterday. They had packages for him, but they didn't. They didn't think it was the right spot, and they were right. It was not. Do not put him out there in that spot.
On the road.
I'm more concerned about just developing him the right way. It could be week 10. It could be week 11. That's what I was looking at when we did the schedule. It could be, you know, against the Commanders after the bye week. Like, there's a lot of spots down the road. Mm-hmm. But I also did not think it was going to be this ugly. I did not think we were going to see the same thing we saw for the last 3 years here, or 2 years.
Neither did I, but that's why I'm trying to get some separation between those who think Russell Wilson was atrocious and my opinion, which is, you know, what did you expect? I mean, there wasn't much in front of him. They had five drops, and he was running for his life. So I'm not saying Russell Wilson played well. I'm just trying to put in context what I thought was a little easier to explain away than some want to give Russ credit for.
Peter's in Manhattan. What's up, Peter?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. First-time caller. Appreciate you guys for taking my call.
Nice.
Thank you.
Listen, the Giants make me sick to my stomach watching them. They didn't play competitive football at all. Forget about winning the game. They didn't play competitive at all. And, Sal, you said before that the one constant is Jaden Daboll. Along with them, it's the Mara ownership group. They don't know how to run a football team. They're completely clueless. How do you have family members running the personnel department? This is what happens when nepotism runs a sports organization. And if the Cowboys blow out the Giants, which they most likely will on Sunday, you can bet the bank that the planes are going to be flying high above MetLife, baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, Peter, and I understand the frustration. Oh, I mean, man, it's not like this ownership hasn't had the ultimate success.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So they should get the benefit of the doubt. And, God, they've tried. They've just done it the wrong way. They've tried to stay within the organization, whether with McAdoofus or whatever it may be. They go get a veteran guy in Gettleman who was familiar with the organization. We could defend them. And by the way, we could defend them. You could call and criticize them. They're not going anywhere. Like, the Maras own the team. That's why I always had an issue. Even when it was with the Mets and, sell the team. Like, to me, that's the lowest form of sports arguments or commentating you could do. Sell the team.
That doesn't mean that we're wrong, though. Yeah. Hey, Woody, sell the team. Yeah. Hey, Wilpon, sell the team.
I know, but
hey,
like,
Dolan, for 20 years, sell the
team.
Okay,
but then when they don't for 30 years or whatever, and Dolan's a great example of why it's not necessarily the right way to do things.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And even with the Mets, it's not like they didn't have some success over. I just feel like it's always the, well, we tried everything else. It's the owner. They have to be the problem. Like,
Well, it's not, of course, it's not just Mara's fault, but there's a lot of commonality. I forget it, not just Mara, but just ownership in general. Like, when you have a bad team like the Knicks were before Thibodeau came, that's 20 years of evidence that Dolan didn't know what the hell he was doing. And then they stumbled upon a fixer in Thibodeau who changed the culture.
Well, now, I mean, he hired Leon Rose. Dolan tried, whether it's Phil Jackson.
Oh, he tried. Yeah. No. And by the way,
he's just relying on the wrong guys.
Well, that's true. And that's different than like maybe the Mets going 50% on free agency with Wilpon.
That's different. That's what I mean.
There's, so not all quote unquote bad ownership is the same. You know, some are cheap, some are stupid, some are just absentee, some are whatever. Right. I don't think that Giants ownership is stupid. I don't think that they're cheap. I just don't think that they've evolved with the league the way the rest of the league has evolved, because the evidence tells us that the Giants are playing or trying to play a brand of football that was played in the 70s and the 80s, and they stink at it.
Here's my issue, though, with this particular argument. Of course, you could get on ownership. Like, I would get on them for Gettleman, and I would get on them for forcing the hand with Daniel Jones. Did anybody really think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were awful hires at the time?
No, we lauded them for leaving the going outside of the Giants organization, which they were always reluctant to do.
So that's my point. And now in year four, are we looking at Mara saying this is Mara's fault, or are we saying Shane and Daboll have not done their job?
Well, it's a good volley back, and the answer is probably more about Shane and Daboll not doing their job, but because there's been other mistakes before, even though we thought that Shane and Daboll was a good hire by Mara and the Giants. What transpired before that, they even held on to Jerry Reese too long. Like, we can go chapter and verse about what the way they mismanaged Eli with Geno, like the Giants, the way Coughlin walked it off the stage and shot them a look that just put lasers through the Giants' body. Like, let's not mince words. The Giants have been a train wreck for a long time.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Speaking of train wrecks for a long time, we'll get to the Jets when we come back.
Your partner's actually kind of happy.
Maybe things are changing.